It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show, where for, I guess, almost 8 years or more now, I have tried to help people truly understand that we are very complex as human beings. And we have, of course, the physical. I think everybody would certainly agree to that. And then we have the emotional, and we all know that people have ups and downs and good days and bad days. And then we have the intellectual, where hopefully we're learning something every single day of our life. And finally, the spiritual component. And my guest today is kind of a combination of all of these. We're going to be talking about a book she wrote called What's a Soul, Grandma? And the way I'm looking at it is that she is looking at the spiritual connection of how do you explain to a child when they have a grandparent die, a sibling die, really at any age, how do we marry that idea of being physical beings and then still being available on a spiritual level? And so that's kind of my take on this, and Karen's going to explain how this book came to be. Before we get started, I want to remind everyone that if you go to www.synergyconnectionradio.com, that is where all of the shows are archived. If you just go to Spotify, Google Radio, Apple, or iHeartRadio, any of those four podcast platforms, then the shows are there. But we didn't start the podcast with them until maybe 4 years ago at this point. And so half of the shows are located on a particular platform for you. So if you want all of the shows, you'll have to go to the website. So again, that's synergyconnectionradio.com. In addition, when you are on the website or on the podcast, you'll see links to other things. And one of those is Boomers Forever Young. And of course, I've been using their products for 8 years. We have a new product out, and I have to share this one with you because I just started taking it. I think Karen is going to be very interested in this one herself. But the same man that created Myotrol. So his name is Eric Kurtz, and I've talked about Myotrol for over a year because it's the one product, it's a capsule, looks a little like an omega-3, and you take it on a daily basis, but it will help to regrow muscle. And after the age of 50, we lose 1% of our muscle mass every single year. And the biggest problem that people have actually with aging is they don't have the muscle mass anymore to hold them upright. And so it's easier to fall. And of course, if you do fall and you're over the age of 50, it's going to be much harder for you to recover. You will recover in time, hopefully. But a lot of people that break a hip or break a leg, you know, it is a long, long recovery. And so that's important to know is the muscle mass is what helps you stay upright. It's what helps you stay strong enough that when you're walking and if you were to stumble, hopefully you wouldn't land and break something. Well, the same person, Eric Kurtz, created a new product and I just started using it. And it's called Cola Gene. So think of Pepsi-Cola, C-O-L-A. And then it's G as in George, E-N-E. So Cola Gene, like a man's last name, Gene. This is such a unique product. It's a liquid. And for a lot of people that don't like swallowing pills, or they have a lot of pills they already take and they don't want to add any more, this one is in liquid form. It has no flavor. But what it does are two things. First of all, we have a sodium channel in our body that carries the pain signal. So quite often people are in chronic pain. It might be mild, it might be more severe, But as you age, maybe develop arthritis, maybe you have bone on bone going on with your knees, you are in pain. And after 5 to 7 days on all of the test people, and I know a few of them personally, they had no more pain. The pain was gone. And the second thing it does is it signals, I guess is the best way to say this, a part of your body to begin manufacturing cartilage again. So the cartilage production in our body stops much like the muscle part does. It stops right around age 40, maybe 45. And we don't make cartilage anymore. So by the time you're in your 70s, you do have bone on bone because you've used up almost all of your cartilage. And you can take collagen, but the collagen that you take does not help you rebuild to the same degree that this particular product does. And so you begin rebuilding. Your body gets a signal that says, hey, we want you to turn back on that production line. Go ahead and start making cartilage again. And the cartilage is going to fill in wherever it's deficit. So in your spine between vertebrae, in your knees, between the parts of your kneecap and the femur. So it's going to rebuild in those areas where we have deteriorated. And we deteriorate just because of age. But for people that have been very active with sports, it's even worse because they're using it up faster. If you've played football, if you've played basketball, if you're a tennis player, if you're a cyclist, if you're a runner, you're using up your cartilage even faster than the person, I don't want to say that's a couch potato, but the person who just basically is not, being so tough on their bodies. So go check out the website. It's boomersboost.com, BoomerBoost.com, and look at the new product called Cola Gene. And I think you're going to be very impressed with what you're going to read. Everything is 60-day guarantee. Certainly, you're going to notice that the pain reduction is either diminished or gone by the time you would think about, no, this isn't working for me. So you have time to check that out. The production of cartilage, of course, is going to take a lot longer, but that's what it's doing, is it's helping your body repair internally. And the only way I guess you would ever be able to prove the production of cartilage again, number one, maybe stop taking it and see if your joints aren't better. But number two, maybe if you had the ability to have an X-ray of before and then after, 3 or 4 months later, you would definitely see the improvement. Okay, so check that one out and see what you think. And welcome back to the show, Karen.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
My weather here in Wisconsin is cold. How about you? What's winter like for you?
We have 28 at 9, and we're supposed to do like 62 or 63 today.
Well, that's
And the
not
sun is,
bad today.
no, it isn't bad. And the sun is always out from beginning in the morning. So you always have that heat if you get in the sun. It's really nice, really. It's not a bad winter.
No, I've talked to a couple of people, and overall, everybody's kind of indicating the same thing. My son is out in Colorado, and of course, it's very mild out there. Not to the happiness, let's say, of the snowboarders and the skiers, because they're just not getting the same amount of snow that they would normally be getting, even up in the mountains, and hardly anything down in, Denver and the area that he's in. So.
Right.
Well, okay, so the book you wrote a few years ago now, and I understand that you were in the car with your grandson.
Yes.
So how did this all come about?
Okay, well, I was in the car, and of course, he's sitting in the back seat, in one of those seats that you have to stay in till you're 15. And he said, Gra and he said, he sounded scared and worried. So he said, Grandma, I don't like to talk about this very often, but I don't want you to die. Now, we had never talked about it. So I thought, wow. And of course, by this time I had a PhD in spiritual psychology. So I said, well, I kind of lied and said, I'm not really old yet. And usually you die when you're old. But when I get really, really old and I do die, my soul will come back and watch over you. And he said, Grandma, what's a soul? So then I thought, okay. So I thought I would read you a part of this book and you could stop me at any place and we could then discuss it. And the reason that I wanted to do it today with you was because the Sunday New York Times on January 4th had a whole section on death. And part of that section was, how do you tell a child? And we're supposed to find the language that they will understand. And that's going to be different for every parent or every grandparent that talks to their child. So I thought I could give some example of the language that I used and that then he followed with. So the book is Grandma, What is a Soul? And there's me and my dog on the front in the car. And I was driving one day with my grandson and my dog named Emma when Duncan said, Grandma, I don't like to talk about this very often, but I don't want you to die. I don't want to die now either, Duncan. But when I get really old, I will. And then my soul will go to heaven and I'll watch over you. And then the following conversation ensued. Grandma, what is a soul? A soul is the spiritual part of a person. It's the part of us that's connected to God or the higher power of the universe, and it contains the plan for our life. Oh, do I have one? Yes, we all have one. Where is it in my body? It's in your unconscious. What's that? Your mind is divided into two parts, a conscious part and an unconscious part. Your conscious part is talking to me right now, but your unconscious part is invisible. What's invisible mean again? Now he's five. Invisible means we can't see it and we don't know that it's here or there. Oh, well, where is my unconscious and my body? Well, let's just say it's deep inside of you, maybe floating in the bottom of your stomach. Okay, hesitantly. When your brother was 9 years old, he told me that he read about the unconscious in his Calvin and Hobbes book. And he said it's scary down there. You need a flashlight to see. And all this old stuff is piled up. And people don't like going down there. But there are good things in the unconscious, too. And the soul is down there in this unconscious place in our stomach, Grandma? Yes. Now, I just use the stomach because he could understand that. I think our soul is in our whole body and around us. How can you look over me when you die if your soul is still in your stomach?
He was
While
asking questions.
we are alive, our soul is invisible to us, and we have a built-in amnesia about it. What's amnesia? It means we forget we have it. And then when we die, then it's time to connect to our soul. How do we do that? Well, when we die, we give up our ghost. Oh, I know what a ghost is. A ghost is a dead person who flies around. Yes, that's right. And when we die, our ghost leaves our body out through the top of our head, where our soft spot used to be. Wow, that's neat, Grandma. Yes, it is. And is our soul inside of the ghost? Yes, it seems that this wispy body we have when we give up our ghost contains our soul and our mind. We take these things with us to heaven. Grandma, what happens when we get to heaven? When your ghost leaves your physical body, you sometimes go through a dark tunnel. Oh, that sounds scary. It happens so fast that you don't have much time to be scared. And then pretty soon, you see this wonderful white light at the end of the tunnel. The light is very warm and comforting, like the flannel sheets on your bed in the wintertime. They are warm and soft, he says. Yes, and in and around this wonderful light are relatives and loved ones who have died before you, who are waiting there to greet you. That's pretty good, Grandma. What happens if none of your friends have died? Well, this will happen a long time from now, when some of your loved ones will have died. Since I'm older than you, I will be one of those relatives who will probably die before you. So I will be up there to greet you and show you around. But right now, you could have relatives like your grandpa who you didn't really know. And maybe you know some animals who have died. Oh, so my old cat would be there to say hello to me? Yes, animals are in heaven and they wait for us too. That would be fun to see my old cat again. And you could see Emma too when you go to heaven. Yes, I could. But Grandma, how are you going to watch over me when you die before I die if you stay at the end of the tunnel and wait for me? Well, I'll be waiting for you at the end of the tunnel because we love each other and love acts like a magnet. So I will know when it's your time to leave Earth. And I will then go to the tunnel and wait. But when I die, once my ghost leaves the tunnel and goes into the light, then I can learn how to fly and move around heaven like I do here on Earth. And then I would fly, find you, and hover over you while you are still here on Earth before you die and come through the tunnel. Oh, so that's how you would watch over me? That's right. But Grandma, if you are a ghost who is flying around just watching me, don't you think you'll get bored? Duncan, do you remember today when you said you would like to go all around the world in minutes and see all the countries you want to see? Yes. Well, as a ghost, I could do that. So you could travel to places and then come back and watch over me? Yes. So I wouldn't be bored, just like when I do things here on Earth while you're in school or with your parents. There's lots to do up in heaven to keep people busy. So in that way, we aren't really dead. We are alive, but just in another way. There's one problem, Grandma. I wouldn't be able to talk to you. Remember yesterday when you rubbed two hairbrushes together and you created static electricity, which made your hair stand up? Yes. Well, we all have energy and electricity like that in us when we are here on Earth and also in heaven. The best conductor of energy is the love we feel for each other. Remember, love is the strongest magnetic force there is, and we will always love each other. That's really nice, Grandma. You bet it is. I can use my energy or love to come to you in your dreams, and you and I can talk then. We won't use words, though. We will use thoughts, and we'll be able to talk just by thinking things to each other. Boy, Grandma, that sounds like fun, and it would be quick, too. And then my dreams won't be so scary either, because you'll be in them. Right. Grandma, yes. Grandma, you won't die again in heaven because you've already died. So you will live a long time in heaven, right? Yes, I will live for a very long time in heaven. And while I am in heaven, I will be a positive ancestor watching over you. It's important to remember that God, your guardian angels, your positive ancestors, and other spiritual guides are always watching over you every day, even now. So when you have a problem, you can always say a prayer to them when there's no adult around to help you. Okay, so I can pray anytime, not just at night before I go to bed. That's right, anytime at all. Okay, Grandma, can we stop talking about this now? I'm getting tired. I need to take my thinking cap off. Sure, Duncan. We can talk more about it another day if you want to. Duncan must not worry about Grandma dying anymore because so far he hasn't asked any more questions about it.
And how old is he today?
He's 18.
Oh, and he's never asked another question in all those years.
He never did. He used to read the book though, so I think that really helped. And in the back of the book, I have a section for parents about the soul.
And just help you to answer it better.
Yes, so that if they, because so many religions mention we have a soul, but they don't always tell you about it. So he was not afraid after that, which I think is the purpose, of trying to talk to children. They suggested in this New York Times article that you would always use the word dead or died, not transitioned or any other word, passed over, because then they get confused if they hear those words and it isn't about somebody who died. And so five normally would be a very difficult age to explain it to them. But
Mm-hmm.
of course, you could always use the Freddy the Leaf book, you know, leaves die and then they come back. And but anyway, I like that. And then synchronicity would have it that 2 weeks later, I was president of this spiritual organization. And the newsletter chairman wrote to the board members and said he had read the New York Post explanation in the editorial page that day about how to explain death to a child. And he said he thought it was terrible. So how would we do it if we could? And we had just had this conversation. So I wrote this up and I sent it to the newsletter gentleman and then forgot all about it. And then it's printed, you know, 4 or 5 months later in the journal with two other adults who answered. But there was kind of their answers were kind of stiff. And I thought this is great because the kid really asked questions, you know? And that's what people need to know. Like, if you can think about it, if you're going to tell your child about this, what kind of words would you use? And then those words would trigger his words. And then you could have a neat conversation, you know, in that way.
Right. Well, I think children quite often experience the death of a pet, which you mentioned, before they do a person.
Yes.
And so it's a beautiful way to, let them know. I mean, a lot of people know about the Rainbow Bridge and the
Yes.
animals are waiting there for you. But I think just, knowing that you can be reconnected with a dog or a cat or even a goldfish, if you loved a goldfish, that they'll all be there because you love them and they loved you. And the fact that you mentioned love is the strongest, or at least one of the strongest, emotions we have that connect us to one another.
Right. And I had several people in the front of this book, Gary Schwartz, who talks about mediums, and PMH Atwater, who writes about death, and Victor Zaman, he also is a lawyer who presents evidence for afterlife. And Michael Tim, he was the editor, and he wrote, clearly death is a difficult subject for most children. It can be an especially difficult subject for children. I can still remember the anxieties and fears I experienced more than 70 years ago when my step grandfather died. My parents didn't seem to know what to tell me, and I, just 6 or 7 at the time, didn't know what questions to ask. It was all hush hush. The trepidation multiplied a hundredfold when we visited the crematorium, and I tried to come to grips with what was left of Papa was now contained in a little metal box. One surrounded by hundreds of other little metal boxes with people in them. If only my parents had explained it all to me as the author of this book explained to her grandson, I believe I would have understood and would have avoided the haunting experience of that crematorium visit, one that remained with me for some time. Then again, I don't think I did any better in explaining my brother's death to my own children. It is such a difficult subject. You wouldn't know it, however, from this book. The author, a psychologist, found just the right words to satisfy her grandson and offer him peace of mind. Unfortunately, our secular society isn't able to make the distinction between spirituality and formal religion. If it were able to do so, and if I had anything to say about it, this book would be required reading for every first grader.
That's really sweet. Very sweet.
Yeah. And Charles Tart, who is Charles Tart. Who is he was he's great about the paranormal. He wrote, and he's deceased now, but he said he wish he had had that when he was a kid.
How would you go about, I was thinking about the crematorium part of it. How do you explain that some people choose to be buried in a casket in the ground, and other people may choose a crematorium. But for a child, I mean, both visualizations, if you will, would be quite frightening, to be in a box put into the ground, or to, be burned so that the only thing that is left is ashes. So I don't think they've written a book about that.
No, and that would be in explaining, you could explain you have two bodies. You have this physical body that we're in right now talking, and then we have a spiritual body that is chemicals and atoms, and that's what can become so small that it goes up your vagus nerve out the top of your head. That's what I believe. And then you are a spirit.
So your
So
body
that,
doesn't experience anything once
right.
the spirit has left.
And
And
your physical body is then dead. And that's what dead means. It has no feeling, right? So you're a bunch of bones and skin and, some fluid. And some people are, and this I've thought about a lot, are so connected to their body that they have that body buried, they dress it up, and they go to the cemetery. And that's another thing, we could take them to the cemetery. And both would be good. And they are buried there, and then they put flowers on the grave, and they think that that person is there, but it's just their bones. Okay, so that the real person is your mind, your conscious, unconscious, and your soul, and that's up in heaven, flying around up there, and that's a whole nother story. And many religions will explain the seven layers of heaven to you, but that's your spirit. And your spirit is what still feels the love that we have. That's why we have visits in our dreams of people who have died. And mostly the dreams are the easiest way that you can connect with a loved one who is on the other side.
Did you ever read the story, The Littlest Angel?
Maybe, but I don't remember now.
Was about a little boy. It was always one of my most favorite ones, but it was about a little boy who had died when he was maybe 3 or 4 years old. And it was back in before Christ was born. And so he had in a box under his bed his dog's collar, a pebble that he used to skip across the water, a butterfly that had died, but it was some of his favorite things. And he kept this in a box under his bed. So in heaven, he was always in trouble, because he was a little boy still. And all the angels were getting together to celebrate the birth of Christ. And they were coming up with gifts that they wanted to give to the Christ child. And he, as a little boy, didn't have anything, but he had his box under his bed. And so they let him go back and retrieve the box. And of course, the way the story ends is that God decides to make his box his favorite gift, and it becomes the Star of Bethlehem.
Oh.
So it's a very sweet story that still exists. You can still get it on Amazon. And in most bookstores, it's been reprinted many times. But the concept I'm thinking is, with your story, it also can illustrate through something like that, that, here an angel could go back to his bedroom and his box, on a spiritual level, he could retrieve that. And so that, we have the ability to move between the spiritual world and the physical world.
Yes. And those things that happen to people like that really confuse them. Because what most people don't realize is, as William James said, there's an invisible world all around us. And there's things that go missing and then things that appear.
I remember very clearly when I was working in the St. Louis area. I was very involved with a very large funeral home. And so I had started a group that was called Coping and Living Life for widow and widowers. And one of the widows pointed out that her husband had the title for one of their cars that she wanted to sell, and she couldn't find it. And so she searched and searched and searched with her son. And I mean, they looked everywhere they knew to look. And her son leaves. And so she goes ahead and goes back into the house. And then she looks over in the corner of the room that they had been in. And she said it was just as clear as if he was standing there. She could see her husband's shape. Not that he was fully dressed or anything, but just she knew it was him. And then she got this mental impression, I would guess, that look in the closet in this box, because it was the one place that they hadn't looked. And when she got that impression and she got a little stool and pulled the box down, there was the title. So I do believe that there is this a very invisible and yet very real world that we are part of. They are a part of us. And the guardian angel concept is very real. I have orbs that are always with me. And
Yes.
so whenever I have pictures taken, quite often there will be an orb or two orbs that'll be there. And they're
So an
always.
orb, for people who don't understand, an orb is a little circles that you can see in your picture. And lots of people at weddings or funerals, they'll have pictures and there'll be lots of orbs because I believe the spirits always come back then.
I think mine have been here, like helping guide me to return to where I moved to. And
Right.
so, and then there was an area, a park that I frequented often, and an orphanage had been there. And so a lot, and this was back before World War II ended, but a lot of the families were separated and the children went to this orphanage. And I think possibly some of the children might not have lived, or maybe if they did live, they love that area so much that they go back to it. But
Yes.
that particular park by the water had so many orbs in it all the time.
I had a client who he joined an association for the paranormal in New Jersey, and he was trained. They train you, and these people work from like 3 in the morning till the sun comes up. They go to people's houses if there's some ghost activity, and he decided he would go to a cemetery one day and. He took he wanted to hear. Somebody said you could hear voices in the cemetery, so he took his tape recorder and he's walking around, beautiful day, and he's walking around. He's just talking and saying to these people that I'm with this group now, and I would just like to know if some of you do talk and blah blah blah. It sounds crazy, but he was doing that. And as he plans to leave, he goes under this arch, and he heard the voice that said, "You come back now."
Oh my gosh, I bet that freaked him out. Oh my goodness.
And I understand a spirit has to have a lot of control over their energy to speak.
I would think so. Wow,
You
that's
come back now.
well, our show's over, but I wanted to let you tell people I know it's available on Amazon. If they would like a signed copy, could they contact you personally and you would send one to them?
Oh, sure, I could do that. And the best way right now is to get me on email, which is Karen, Karen, at Karen Herrick, Herrick.com. And
Okay.
just email me, put it in the subject line, and then I'll be able to see it, faster.
Okay. Because I think I know with my own book, I believe that people love having a signed copy,
Oh, they do.
especially for a child, and it's something that you're going to be able to then give to them as the parent or the grandparent, whoever is buying it, but give it to them and then keep it for them to give to their children someday.
Yes.
So I think that's kind of a beautiful way to pass a book down from generation to generation.
You're correct. And I don't know if when you list this in your list of people you speak to, you could put a chronic grief, good for grieving people or something, because I think the adults that have read it have really been, very pleased.
Yeah, I would think so. Well, thank you for being my guest once again,
You're
and
entirely welcome.
we will talk to you in the future. And in the meantime, I hope everyone gets a chance to maybe go on to Amazon or send a note to Karen and ask her for a signed copy of her book, What's a Soul, Grandma? I love the title. And in the meantime, please go out there and make this your very best life.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomer's Forever Young products.